club.
It's a club.
Up in here.
I love my intro music. It's my favorite part of the whole thing.
Can we have like a disco, like, woo? That's a different one. Different podcast.
That one has boobs in it.
No, it does. I'll produce that one.
Man, I'm so excited. Brian Weaver is here. I was like, did I say that right? I had to check my notes. I was like, I just almost had to double check myself. Brian Weaver. This is the only the first time we've met in person.
It is first time.
So cut me a little bit.
For real?
Yes.
Well, you did great.
We've met
then.
On Zoom, I think once or twice, and Caitlin actually met with him first. Aaron and you did. Yeah. No,
we go way back with Master Network.
Okay, now this I'm excited. How far back? Because I've been a member longer than you.
I've only been a member for a year.
I've been a member since January 2023.
Okay, well, I don't know when we first met. You came to one of my meetings.
I did, probably October of last year.
That's what sold them.
That's exactly what sold me.
I went to 6 meetings before I signed up. I was all scared and naive and didn't want to spend the money.
Whoever the president was that determined that.
Well, they're not around anymore, so maybe that'll tell you. So.
That tends to happen.
Ready for my moment. I'm so excited to hear so much about this. Brian, even in just the short amount of time that I've gotten to know you, there's just so much depth that you bring to the table, and I'm sure your customers as well, and I can't wait for us to unravel that, talk about it, share some stories. I've also got my colleague, one of my partners in crime, Aaron Pica.
Come take a Pica.
Everyone was upset that you've lost that in your 30-second spiel.
I haven't lost it. I'm just finding it.
We can't insert it. We can't force it in. We have to make it. It has to gradually just
fit. That's a different podcast.
What did I get myself into here?
Just kidding. Edit.
Edit. Hold on. There it is. How funny. Well, ready for my moment. Is this a business that you created, Brian? Or is this a franchise? Or tell us more of just first about the brand.
Yeah, it's a business I created. I've been an entrepreneur in my blood since I could remember. And always been coaching, helping, serving, supporting people. And at my last company, I was just kind of tired of the same old guy showing up with no integrity and just out of character. And I was like, I'm done. I'm gonna go finally do my own thing. For the third time, because I heard third time's a charm.
I'm in my fifth time.
There you go. How was the third time? Did it work?
It was a weird business.
Well, obviously not.
I sold flashlights at strip clubs. True story.
This cannot be true.
It's true. They were little clippy flip flashlights.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to get Aaron going with some of the things you say, by the way.
Filter.
Yeah, so that was that third business. My second one was a corporate debt collecting agency. Had 15 customer or employees. So we were a fully functioning call center. And that was before things were much more easier, like on cell phones. We had to like plug it into the wall and like wear a headset and like dial the doot, 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 doot. And then sometimes we had an auto dialer. And to get the business, we had to walk up and run to the fax machine. And like write their company name down real fast and like dee, 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 and then like send it in and then like run back and hope that they were still there.
There may be people that don't know what a fax machine is that are listening to this, by the way.
Don't look at me. I mean, listen.
Have you ever sent a fax?
Yes. Okay. I'm old. I'm like, I said it. Y'all don't have to. I know exactly what that
no
is.
No comment.
Yeah. Thank you.
So it sounds like you stuck with it. The third time's a charm, like you said.
I did. So when I was 24, my two best friends and I decided to go on our own. We were personal trainers for about 4 years prior to that. And we're just kind of tired of the story that was being told by the club of the over-promising, under-delivering. And we knew we could over-deliver and under-promise. So we took a chance. We raised like $20,000. We bought minimum amount of equipment. The lease we took on was actually the debt was against like a bicycle and a TV and a car just so we can actually get in and have the lease. We had 1,100 square feet.
Wow.
And we grew that thing to $750,000 a year in annual revenue. Just the three of us on a little dream.
This all started on a dream.
That's impressive.
This started, called my best friend. 15, 20 years. I said, I need money. He rolled his eyes and said, not again. I said, come on, man. I got it this time.
Is this the third time? The fourth time?
This is the fifth time. This is Brian, who you got to meet.
I know. I love Brian.
I promised him that I wouldn't celebrate without him. So that's why we go to Vegas a lot. See, there's a lot of depth to this Vegas stuff. I don't just go to Vegas because I'm a degenerate or anything. I bring my best friend. Now, he's a degenerate.
Loyal. I can tell you're a loyal guy.
I am loyal.
Yeah. He's got the money. You got the flashlights.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I see why we're in
Did
Vegas.
These flashlights? I feel like this is a song. Maybe.
Could be a country song.
But did you invent the flashlights?
No, I invented where to put the flashlight. Where to stick the flashlight.
That's a different podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on one second. Wow. I'm never going to be invited back to do this.
I might never come back. Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah.
True.
What is, give us your 10-second spiel. Let's say I'm just sitting next to you at a restaurant. What would you say? So if I'm like, Brian, what do you do, man? What is the thing that you say?
So it might go 20 seconds. Most people have zero idea of when their moment shows up throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear ready for my moment, a lot of people think of like Tom Brady's moment to come back and win the Super Bowl being down 28-3. Or like the biggest moments in people's lives. These are actually 60,000-ish times a day. There's a moment of opportunity for you to choose or to stay unconscious. So the work we do is highly focused on, one, creating awareness that that moment exists, and then how you want to show up in that moment in alignment with what you actually want from your day, your life, your relationships, your job, et cetera.
That seems like it takes a tremendous amount of application, right, or practice. But maybe I'm wrong. Help me understand kind of, if I'm so the opposite direction, it's like, how do I achieve being ready for my moment?
90% of the thoughts you have today, you had yesterday.
Okay.
So that's where it starts, right? There's an awareness component of that actually exists, and then you choosing how you want to be with that. And if it went to 89% to 11%, you're already making strides.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire foundation of the business or the strategy of the coaching at Ready For My Moment is about the awareness being the foundation of the house that you're trying to build. And the deeper and wider that foundation is, the easier it is to build a big house on top of it.
This is so my language, like consciously being aware, making your mind aware and to be present during that moment.
Yeah.
So
look at it from a way of doing versus a way of being.
Okay.
Most people do it and do it and do it and just exist and get through. And then they're like, that sucked. Or why did that happen? Or the being is a choice of how you show up and experience the doing.
Okay. So for example, we're all in networking, right? So can I use that as an example? It's like you can go to the event, but are you really present? Right. And I think I'm a chapter mentor. That's one of the roles that I play in Master Networks. We just created it. It's out of thin air. They thought it was cool.
It's a core.
Yeah, I don't actually have a certificate on it or anything.
You seem perfect for it, though, so good call.
I appreciate that. But, you know, friends and colleagues that I've coached unprofessionally through Master Networks, you know, they'll come and they're confused on why they're not producing an ROI right away, you know, or in really any duration. I talked to one gentleman today at our chapter, and he jokingly was like, oh, you know, I haven't made any money yet. You know, and I'm kind of sad for that effect because what I want to say is, man, you know, I actually watch you in action and you're not engaged, you know. Networking or doing any type of business development takes a plan, takes a strategy. And it can be as simple as when you go into a room talking to other people that you've never talked to before, you know, not huddling up with your best friends, not getting comfortable in that moment. It's pushing yourselves to a whole nother limit and being actively engaged in that moment. So that was my interpretation. It's like you can be in the room, but are you getting anything done? That's a short version.
Yeah, and consider that's the easy part because that's the plan. And we can organize that. We can mimic someone else that does it really well. It's already scripted within like the networking groups you go to. Like when I joined Master Networks, I met with Ryan, who was the president at the time, and he's like, let me tell you the secret, right? You got to come to every chapter meeting. You got to do 4 face-to-faces a week. You got to book this. You got to do that. Well, that was the facilitative strategy of being successful within the chapter or within the organization. I shift out of that and focus more on how do you want to be when you're doing all of those things. And the awareness component starts with there's 3 pillars. It's owning your greatness or your unique essence. Do you know who you really are as a human being? The one that was born and then got triggered to protect itself. That's where we go and we look back a little bit. And then do you understand your distractors? What gets in your way when you're in those moments and you go to your unconscious way of being? And then the third part is your comfort zone. Do you know what your comfort zone is? Do you know what it looks like? And do you know how to get into a growth zone? So that's the awareness foundation of all the work we do.
That can be really heavy stuff. Aaron, I cried in Aaron's in her lap. Did she tell you that? She probably didn't tell you that.
She did.
So her and I did a face-to-face, and I shed tears because she was asking me questions like, what is your why? How did you get here on this earth? You know?
I did not ask how you got here on this earth. But I think it's important. I think we just live in a habitual world, mm-hmm. and, you know, you were ready to get out of that comfort zone and tell
I
me
was.
Anyways.
But I needed an outlet, you know, and I think a lot of times I think that's what Brian is trying to get to is his prospects is you have an outlet. You have a way for them to be educated on how to engage, right? So getting that message to them, I'm sure is a little bit of a challenge. Can you kind of walk through what the journey has been to perfecting your message and getting that to the appropriate audience?
You can't have a breakthrough without a breakdown. So your crying on Aaron's shoulder was a breakdown, which allowed you to propel into a whole nother level of being.
Yeah.
So the process that we take, you have to create space. And we'll just use this example perfectly, right? Aaron created space for you to be and get outside of what you would normally do in a face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
From that, you created a massive amount of awareness of what might be getting in your way and what was comfortable for you. Then it allowed you to go to the next level, which was to practice a new way of being that was in alignment with what you're trying to accomplish. And the more you stack blocks on that foundation, the higher you propel yourself. And when you get to a new level, you can look around and actually see things totally differently than you were able to see when you were below the awareness part of the house.
Yeah. I've also, through this podcast, have spoken to other people where they've gone through that same experience. I don't want to mention their name, but I don't think that's fair. But someone that I've interviewed, you know, through the podcast, after that, they did their another version of reflecting, and it kind of, you know, threw them off kilter, right? They came in standing on both feet, but they left only on one and unbalanced, and it forced them to become uncomfortable and really deep dive into, you know, what is really my why, or how, what do I really want to accomplish and focus in on, you know, through. So how long is your program typically?
6 to 12 months is what the average client takes to get where they're trying to go.
Do you feel like there have been instances, and an answer maybe no, but do you feel like there may be instances where a customer has come on and maybe given up, you know, 2 weeks in, 1 month in, or that type of duration?
With me, no. But I think in the industry, yes.
What are some ways that you help kind of bridge that gap? Because a lot of customers that I've worked with or people that I've come into contact, I think that they have a inability to have their customer complete the whole cycle, right? It's so an example. I mean, pick a gym membership, right? It's like you sign up, you don't go, you know. So then a year later,
you're calling me out.
No, I'm just looking at you.
Yeah, there was a stat a long time ago. 61% of people that join a gym quit within 6 weeks.
I have a stat of me. I had 3 gym memberships at one point. 3.
Why?
3 paid gym memberships.
But that doesn't even make sense.
I had a Lifetime Fitness membership, a Cowboys Club membership, and a Planet Fitness membership.
Yeah, networking. But you got to go to network.
I was just collecting the little dongles on my keys.
Wow. I don't even have a membership.
Yeah.
Here's what I think's missing, right? And you go home to your spouse, you go to your best friend, you go to someone at your church, right? They're going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
It's almost like a validation of your victimness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So
misery
not,
loves company. Yeah. That's the way I describe it.
So a coach is a compassionate disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
From a place of love, care, and concern about you as a human being, I will push you out of your comfort zone so you end up at a new level of a way of being.
Yeah. So I'm so glad you just mentioned this whole example. I've grown my life with a coach. So we have a team member on our staff and they are a coach, right? So we coach our customers through that. Well, ironically, she's been my coach for a long time, just by through friendship, longevity. And I had a moment of clarity where I realized, like what you're describing, it's like I could go to this person because they've been my coach for so long, but at the end of the day, all they're doing is agreeing with me, right? It's like I go to them and I'm like, man, I had a bad day. They're like, yeah, you did. I'm like, okay, that didn't help, right? But they're trying to empathize because they're my friend, you know, and they're focused more on you know, let me help Alex in this moment because I'm his friend, not because I'm truly his coach. So I was at another Master Networks. I was at a Wednesday chapter, and I realized through talking to another coach, they're like, have you ever considered an outside perspective, right? And just that simple question, I was like, no, I haven't. I never considered speaking to a truly unbiased person about what I've gone through and where I need to be so that way I could get the honest truth or an action plan that wasn't in line with me just being sad and then being like, you know, don't be sad. You know, it's okay. They said, what? Oh my gosh. No, I can't believe they did that.
A couple things that are helpful too is when you're paying for something, you're showing up a little differently, right?
And right.
Yeah.
We're probably not paying friends or our parents or our spouses, but
right.
When you hire a coach, you're invited to bring all of that stuff, right? Your baggage, your drama, in my word, all your distractors, your comfort zone. What does your survival mechanism look like? What are your self-saboteurs? And I won't stop with that first answer. Right. And you guys are both in sales, so you'll appreciate this. When you get the first objection, it's probably not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go find out what it's really about. So if it's not about what it's about, what's it about? So for me, right. As a coach, I will ask 15 questions around the same topic until we've arrived at what it actually is about.
Right.
Then you can coach from there. If you try to coach from the first response, mm-hmm. you're just solving a problem that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, have you ever had a coach in a new capacity, maybe just could
like,
be related.
I mean, I haven't
or not.
Had a paid for coach, but yes, I mean, I've had a mentor
mm-hmm.
and gone through like why training and yeah. I mean, I have a history of direct sales for 7 years and personal development.
A lot of coaches in that space.
That will, right? It's like, all those layers, it's just like layer, peel off the band-aid, and then you get to the bottom of it and you're like, oh shit, I gotta look at me.
Right.
Like that rawness is so, but you have to recognize it. Like I know for me, it's like that pain though leads into purpose.
Right.
And so, but you gotta be vulnerable enough to get to that spot. And sometimes that takes a long time to get to.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And you can't figure it out yourself. You need someone else to help you get to that moment.
The mirror or the reflection part of coaching is valuable. If I just sit here and repeat back exactly what I heard you say, you then get to hear it differently. But if you just tell your friend, right, like we were talking earlier, they're just going to give you back what you want to hear, not exactly what you were trying to share.
Yeah. But I see, Aaron, I think you and I fall into that category of like, oh, yeah, no, I have a mentor, someone, right? But in your and I's reality, it's our friend, you know, or it's our buddy that we like to eat hot wings on Friday. It's like... Mm-hmm. Because I've heard it from other owners. They're like, well, I talked to my mentor and you're like, well, who's that? And like, oh, it was my, you know, my business partner and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, you know, I just don't know if that's applicable anymore. I think to truly grow your business to another level or even yourself, you really have to get an outside perspective. And I think, Brian, that's what Ready for My Moment hopes to accomplish. It's applying being present into the business setting so that way entrepreneurs can thrive, grow to another level personally so that way that their business will follow suit.
Yeah, Alex, you bring up a good point, right? So if we look at it in four different phases. Your friend will validate your victimness.
Hmm.
A therapist will take you back and uncover some trauma.
True.
And then charge you for it.
A consultant or mentor has already experienced what you're going through and can give you facts about where you should not go and where you should go more. And then a really good coach will meet you where you are and help you get where you want to go. And that gap between where you are and where you want to go is where all the work happens with mm-hmm. coaching.
So, Brian, how do you separate that moment where your client comes in and now it's like all they're doing is complaining or now it's a therapy session, right? Because I'll be honest with you, like that would be my fear is like, okay, I hire a professional coach, come in and work with me in my business, but then when I go home, it's like what I'm writing down or like all my complaints, you know, and the things that just don't make me feel good. How do I bridge that gap into making it the most effective for me?
So if we were in a coaching session, that's where the mirror reflection strategy comes into play. Like just for me to repeat back what you said and ask you, what do you need from that place? Or what are you hoping for by sharing that? And a lot of times I'll just go so direct. I'm like, do you need some time just to bitch and complain? Because I'll give you that space. Because if we don't get,
yes.
if we don't get that gym. Out of your head, right? If that doesn't come out of your head, we can't go where we need to go to work from.
Okay.
And do you say that more to females?
It's everybody.
They need a bitch and complain. just wondering.
Yeah, I might change the language with a male, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit more direct, maybe.
All right, gotcha.
But I think to connect that, one more thought is it's trust, right? And I have, being a personal trainer for 20 years, I've experienced everybody going through something.
Right, divorces, breakups.
Yeah, physically
moves,
and emotionally.
Trauma at home.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard every story. I didn't realize you were in that industry for 20 years.
Yeah, affairs to, you know, gambling, to addictions, to what my, I remember this lady exactly, I'm not going to say her name, but she walked in and said, I'm pregnant. And I was 24 years old, so I had no idea what that actually meant. I just told my husband, we were the second person I told, I need you to know because you're my trainer. And she goes, and by the way, I'm going to tell you every little thing that happens along the way to my body. So I'm surprised I'm a father at this point.
Wow.
Because the stuff she shared was like, whoa, that happens to a woman's body?
That's crazy.
No way.
That's crazy. Man, I would love to be in shape. Like,
me
like
too. We should work out, right?
I have a confession. Now. Yeah, I looked over at Kylie today and I was like, is it too early? I only had one.
To eat or drink?
I had a beer at 10:15 this morning.
And I decided, we're eating at 3, so I decided to forgo any calories this morning until 3.
We're going to tear it up. Have you been to Cortino's here in the Grandscape?
I've not, no.
Well, come join us at 3. It's really good.
You're missing out. Yeah, so it's affordable. I hate using the word cheap. It's affordable, but all the cheese is made in like France or something, and they fly it in. I mean, it's all fresh ingredients. It's irresistibly amazing. Resistibly amazing? Irresistibly?
I don't know, but I'm drooling thinking about it
right. What did you ask me earlier? You're like, are we going to get the bread? I can't remember what you asked.
The mozzarella. It's like fresh mozzarella with the balsamic.
The pizza's good too.
So you all are going to food. Yeah. I'm going to a coaching question for you on what makes you not be in shape now.
What makes, I'm a master of my own schedule, right? And I'm also a believer that people will do things that are important. And I just, for some reason, my mind has devalued taking care of myself first. And I've heard it. It's coming. I can feel it. I can feel it right here in my eye ducts or whatever.
You wouldn't be the first person to cry with me, by the way. So go ahead. This week.
I haven't.
I'm watering right here.
Because we're talking about your lack of working
out? Yes, because I know, Brian, I'm sure like you meet so many people that want to be X, right? They want so bad to be that, you know, and I think that's why, and I got into my business, right, is because I wanted to walk alongside entrepreneurs, outside of them. I didn't want to create a company that is so customer driven that it's like, I don't know anything about you, right? You're just another number. So to do that, my strategy was I'm gonna lower the price point so much that it'll give me the opportunity to sit in this room with you, right? To now work alongside you, right? So I put together a package where it was a no-brainer because I wanted the net effect to be, I want to learn beside Brian Weaver. That's the honest truth. Is we work with 100 customers, right? That's 100 handshakes, opportunities, phone conversations, Zooms, and that has propelled me personally over the last year and a half than I've ever imagined. So back to your question, like I want those things, right? But I have not cracked the code yet on how to find the time and to prioritize that stuff to make myself grow. And this is jacking me up.
It's okay.
We got to go to commercial break. No, I'm kidding.
Ding! Whatever that sounds
was that too deep? Because I just got way deep.
No, there's nothing too deep for me, right, as a coach. And I'll take on any...
As a coach.
Yeah, any topic, any conversation. Can we push that button for Aaron?
Yeah. That's the other podcast again. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we need another podcast.
I know.
Are we going to commercial or do you
no
need
work?
Continue.
Yeah.
I needed to walk around the building for a second.
We don't always do what we want or what's important. So I think the way you shared that a minute ago, if I would have been taking notes, I would have got it perfectly. But you said, like, we always do what's important. We don't.
We don't.
We're told what we're supposed to think's important. And then we judge ourselves and create massive indecision on why we do or don't do that thing. right? And I think that's a big problem with most of the people in our society today is we're constantly stimulated by other people's thoughts of what we're supposed to look like, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to behave, what's appropriate, what's not. Excuse me. And that's starting to shift a little bit. I think this younger generation is kind of saying, screw you, I'm going to do whatever I want. But they're not really sure why they're doing it. I think they're just doing it. So connecting back to your values and your beliefs and being in alignment with what you actually want this life to look like.
Right.
I think getting clear on that, and that's back to your why thing. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I want it to look like?
But I think the trap that I fall into and is I'm doing it in reverse. Right. So I think I'm creating.
But that's a judgment again. Did you hear that?
Well, so yeah. So like I'm trying to mask what I want for to what the business should be and then adapting me to that rather than me creating what I am and then applying that to the business. I think that there's a reverse.
But it sounds like you're already doing it. Like you're showing up for this number five entrepreneur job the way that you are authentic. Mm-hmm. And you've aligned your business model to be affordable, get more people in, have more handshakes, have more connection, because that's, I just know you for a little bit, but that's probably your true authentic self.
Right. Yeah. I'm
not going to the gym.
Not going to the gym. I'll walk into the gym. I walked into the gym and canceled my Planet Fitness membership. I think they still charged me.
Maybe we need to do a competition and get to the gym.
We can get to the gym.
Or just have weights here.
Yeah. I mean, I've been just having Aaron on the team has inspired me because, I mean, you live a very great habitual lifestyle. You're very.
I don't want to be habitual.
Like,
he just called me. That's not a good thing.
It's not a good habitual to be in a habit.
Just always be. To me, no. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to be in a habitual state. I want to be aware and conscious to be able to kick myself out of comfort zone.
Actually, that's 100% fair. Yeah, so I guess I didn't describe it right. So no, I'm going to take a step back.
Okay.
You're absolutely right the way you described it because what I was trying to say was, you know, when I'm in a setting where I'm like, yeah, let's just order wings or whatever, you know, I have somebody on the team that's in my environment that says, you know, let's consciously make a decision to not do that, right? And so by watching you practice that, that's helped me just kind of be first aware. I haven't yet been able to practice it, but I'm definitely becoming aware, you know, and that's really helped me. So that's, I was trying to say the same thing you were saying.
Yeah.
I just totally came out backwards.
Well, and for me, I just feel like you have to work on, and you said you were backwards in this, but I don't believe that. I think like you're always striving to be your best version. And when you're trying to be your best version, you're going to show up that way, which will then show up in the company. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm not my best version. Like I know I should be working out and going to the gym. And that's probably the last piece. Like I feel like the mindset stuff is a lot. Like that's way harder probably than going to the gym.
Yeah. Is the mindset.
But I haven't. Yeah. But I haven't done that part. I've done the mindset stuff.
Have you at least packed a bag? I've got a bag. It's
bag?
In my,
no, I'm not even a member of gym. Like I don't even know how to lift weights. I need someone to be like, lift these weights. Here's how to do it. And I need them like right next to me.
Yeah.
Doing it.
I've done some cool stuff in the fitness thing. I was a box. I did a box for a year.
I need a coach.
Need a coach.
That says, stop with those excuses and pick up those damn weights.
Right.
That's what I need.
Alex, here's a question for you.
Yep.
What is your relationship with discipline? That was for Alex.
I got to think about there's radio silence.
I'm getting him to cry, by the way.
Oh, that is not that hard. I did.
What's my relationship with discipline? Let me figure out how to answer that question. I mean, first and foremost, I'm a procrastinator, so that doesn't help. I'm a violent procrastinator. I procrastinate so much. I had to hire somebody on the team to fulfill that gap. So I'm not sure. That's true, right? Yeah.
But that made you aware. I think that's great.
But am I covering up though? See, I don't feel like I'm not solving the problem. I'm just putting a Band-Aid on it.
What is your relationship with procrastination?
Oh man, we're buddies. Mm. We're so buddies.
Hold on, Band-Aid.
Yeah, I love procrastinating. I love the excitement of being in the moment, and like this is real stuff. I'm being completely honest.
This is why he goes to
you.
Vegas once a month.
I love being in the panic stage, I think. I think I thrive very well on that.
Do you want me to keep coaching, by the way?
Yeah, I do. I'm like,
I'm not being funny. Like, you're asking me very honest questions. I'm trying to give you honest answers. Yeah.
So what becomes available to you when you're in that place?
Efficient, I guess time shrinks, right? I get more done faster because I have forced myself. Well, yeah, I put myself in, oh my gosh, I only have 30 minutes, but I have to do these four things and I got to get them done. So like I'm able to do so much more in such a short period of time. And I think that's the excitement that I get out of procrastinating. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah, like you're like intentional in that moment.
It makes no sense to me because that sounds nothing like procrastination.
Okay.
Getting four things done in 30 minutes.
Because nobody waits till the last minute to do it.
Yeah, to do it.
What makes it the last minute?
What, by not start, like the deadline, the time, right?
Are you getting it done in time?
Yeah, but I don't think it's like quality, right? Nothing quality happens fast.
Sounds like for you it does.
Yeah, but is that, I mean, is that a quality trait? Like, should I just lean in on procrastination?
The relationship with the word procrastination has a negative content, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
We think it's bad. We think it's wrong. The way you just described it, it works for your lifestyle to be as productive as you can. Because in those other hours, what else are you getting done, right? After that 30 minutes of getting four things done, what about the next 30? Is it another four? And another four? Like, how much total volume of work, connection, joy, love do you have in your day? If you peeled all that back.
Well, I think I have a tremendous amount.
I don't think you're procrastinating.
Like, I spend time with my kids. That's diligent. I mean, like hours, right? So then I feel bad because I've procrastinated, quote unquote, my task to the next morning or something like that. So then I have to get up at 4 a.m. or whatever. So I'm not quite sure where we're landing, but I think I'm going to give it a try. Is like I'm intentionally of having to apologize or feel guilty or feel bad for this negative connotation that he's describing, which is procrastination. Are we close?
Yeah, and we don't have to be right or wrong on this, mm-hmm. right? It's just the cool thing about coaching is you can start to unpack certain things that may have value. And great questions are, what is this giving me access to that I don't have now? Or what is it costing me by continuing this path?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So where I would go next if we were in a coaching session, okay, well, I see value in why you do what you do. What is it costing you? If it was costing you less time with your kids, more quality time at work, more productivity and efficient working, putting out a quality product, then we might have somewhere to look of that might be not how you want to show up.
Right. I think the only fear is probably quality. Because, I mean, I feel like I get my best work done in that moment, like I described, right? I'd rather push it off till 4 a.m. because I can get up at 4 a.m, fresh, no distractions, and I can pump out, you know, 8 campaigns, literally, like in an hour. I can just literally push, like, load them, activate them. So I get more done in that hour than I would all day.
Yeah. And we see it a lot in corporate America, right? Like an 8 or 9 hour workday, people probably spend 9 hours getting 3 hours of work done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You spend 3 hours getting 8 hours of work done.
Right. But I think the net effect and what I think I have to become more comfortable with is being okay with that and not feeling guilty about it. Because think about it, Aaron. So like we have a culture here, and I've told this to other team members, it's like, I don't want you here till 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Like, I don't know what the point is. Like, you don't win brownie points by saying, I worked all night. You know, it's like, if you were fried starting at 1 and it took you twice as long, like that, to me, that's not efficient. I would rather you leave at 1 o'clock and go spend time doing whatever it is. So like to the Vegas thing, you know, I have figured out in my life that I grind so hard, so at like so many meetings in such compressed time that like I have to remove myself completely from this entire environment and force myself into a completely other environment. And it happens to be in Vegas, but because I know what's like for me, it's the lights and the excitement and just like constant, you know, at my face, right? Versus sitting at the Shark Club trying to get anything done because people are just constantly asking me questions and wanting to like, whatever, right?
So a couple final thoughts for me. When you change the way you look at things, mm-hmm. the things you look at change. That's a Wayne Dyer mm-hmm. quote. Mm-hmm. And then here's another thought for you, Alex, is the environment that you choose to be in to ask questions or make decisions will totally impact the result. So if you're in a judgment, fear, indecisive environment, that will help lean into the questions you're asking yourself that are going to give you bad answers, right? if you're in a joy, love, connection, fulfillment, purpose, passion,
right,
you stand there, then you ask yourself the same question, you get a totally different result.
Right.
So it's less about judging what's right and wrong and more about choosing how you want to show up for the way you ask questions and the decisions you make.
I feel very refreshed when I mean, this, we'll talk more about this Vegas stuff. I mean, my business partner goes out there. I get clarity. I get a full day with him, you know, no distractions. And I come back fully recharged and ready to go. I could go to Vegas for 24 hours and accomplish the same thing as another trip for 5 days, you know, because I'm just not distracted.
You're not coming back if you go for 5 days.
my trips are getting longer. Get I'm leaving Monday, the 17th. I'm gone a week.
So we do it all the time with computers, right? If your computer's having a glitch or it's not working well, what do? We
reboot.
Right.
Reboot it. We as human beings need that same exercise. We need recharging, re-energizing, rebooting. We don't put those into our life. Like you said, you're the master of your schedule. Well, that's a big part of your schedule. Mm-hmm. Exercise is it for a lot of people. Meditation, nutrition, yoga, getting out of town, right?
Right.
Changing the environment you're standing in. And then asking new questions, because what you can see in Vegas, you can't see at the Shark Club.
Right.
No comment. Yeah.
Some things you can.
No, I. man, this is always what happens. I'm gonna leave tonight, get all in my head, and I'm gonna call Brian Weaver and say, "When can I start?"
Good. That's what you need to do, and then he can come up here with some weights and make us work out.
Do you feel like, Brian, that's like what I'm going through right now is kind of your.
Typical.
Your what is it, like your sales flow or whatever, like, is that typically how it happens? Is like you really get deep and somebody has that clarity moment where they're like, oh my gosh, I need this. I need to apply this to myself.
People are either in a breakdown, which you're in like a partial breakdown right now. I wouldn't say you're in a
I'm not gonna
breakdown.
Let it happen. I'm gonna keep it in here.
Oh my gosh, let it go.
or they're in a place where they want significant change, right? They want a new job. They want a promotion. They want to find their partner, their spouse. They want to make more money. Those are all reasons to hire a coach.
Right.
The ontological strategy that I use, like the way of being, most people are in some sort of a breakdown and they don't know how to get out of it. They can't see anything else from how deep they are in the muck or the water or wherever they are.
So
you'd be a perfect client.
I'm ready. I'm all in. What's the process? What would be the process getting started? What's some costs you may or may not want to share, programs, or how do people get involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we always start with a discovery call. We have to make sure that we're a good match, right? That one, I want to work with you, and two, you want to work with me. And if those things line up, then we get really clear on what it is you'd want to accomplish in a period of time. It's a 6-month agreement to start because it takes about 3 months.
You can't do anything for 2 weeks.
It takes about 3 months. You go to Vegas for 2 weeks.
You have a prorated plan for people who go to Vegas for twice.
So 3 months to create that awareness component, right? Like,
okay.
Do you really understand your greatness, who you are as a human being, what gets in your way, what it looks like, where your comfort zone is, and why you're stuck?
Right.
And then we go into the next 3 months about practicing the three pillars of being intentional, being prepared, and being responsible. What do those look like in your life? What does it feel like? And then what becomes available to you when you're practicing being? And then the last either three, or I have a client for 5 years, right? So she needs somebody on her team every other week just to remind her how great she is and help her see something differently that she just can't see. So the length of time can be 5 years or, you know, 6 months if we can get to where you want to be.
Right. Okay. And then you can just keep going on. And what are the like pricing plans if you want to share those?
Yeah, there's different packages, right? So I work directly with corporations where I coach and consult their executive leadership team and then some like management people below them. I work one-on-one with individuals that are usually some sort of a leadership or sales role or just going through a life challenge. The package prices will vary. We can go through that when we
Perfect.
Sit down.
Awesome. No, man, I'm pumped. I mean, I think... You have to do all of it. You have to do marketing. You've got to do strategy, product development, and you have to have a coach. You know, otherwise
you got to be your best version.
Suck at it.
I mean, why go through all that if you're not going to work on you?
You have to be ready for the moment.
Ready for the moment.
I just thought of that. I made it up.
That's a really good name. Can I borrow that for a company?
Absolutely. It's all yours. It's all yours.
You know what's funny too is like we've all had a coach. Mm-hmm. At some point in our life. And when we had coaches, they're responsible for us becoming better versions of ourselves.
Right.
It's usually like soccer or baseball or gymnastics. And then we get out of that younger part of our life, and then we're forced into corporate America to go get a job. And now we have a mentor or a manager that knows nothing about coaching.
Right.
And they're just all in it for themselves, and they're just trying to find the right people so they can get promoted and make more money and then kind of use and abuse you and get you out of the way.
How do we get in touch with you? What's the website? What's your phone number? What's your front door address? All those things.
Wow.
How do we see you? Do we see you locally? Are you in the local community? Where do we find you?
Yeah. So I do live local webinars and workshops, and I do most of my coaching over Zoom. Ready for my moment with the number 4.com is my website. On there, you can learn more about how I go about coaching, a little bit more about me personally. You can book a complimentary discovery session. So that'd probably be the best way to get a hold of me.
Perfect. Well, Brian, man, it's been a pleasure having you on our show. Aaron, you're always funny. I love it. Mm. Love the excitement. And yeah, man, we should set up a formal discovery for
with
me
weights.
For the business
with weights. Yeah. Work it out.
We can do both.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.